All right. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you guys today. I think everybody knows me, but my name is Steve. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio Church. And I was thinking just during worship, it's kind of fun just to come together and sing together. It's like you don't really do that any other place in life. And it's just good to step out of our day-to-day life and sing and rejoice and just praise the Lord a little bit. So I always appreciate that. So today I want to talk about the Word of God. In one sense, it's no rocket science. I'm going to say the same stuff that pastors normally say. Kind of, it's good to read the Bible. But in another sense, it's like, this is my heart. Like, if I could pass one thing on to my kids or one thing on to you guys or to anybody, it would be to encourage people to read the Word of God. Think about in Hebrews 4:12, where it says the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And there's something about it that's really powerful. It impacts us and it changes us. And so there are a lot of things I would want to pass on. I have a lot of thoughts, a lot of things I've learned from the Word and learned from other people. But there's something super valuable about the Word. And not just like, oh, here's a bunch of stuff to obey. Like, read the Word so you know how to obey. I think that's important too. But I think it just helps us in so many different areas. It's really where our knowledge of God comes from. And how He thinks of us. How we relate to Him. And how He loves us. And how forgiveness works. And how He shows us grace. And so there's just value in reading God's Word and being refreshed in those things, encouraged by those truths, not just being told what to do. And then even as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, just how He makes us new. He does all these things for us in changing us, making us into different people. And so our identity and our understanding of our identity comes from the Word of God. And so I just feel like there's this huge need that we have to have our thinking corrected. If you think about just life, I think we all have some sort of goal, some sort of path that we're headed down. Well, here's what I want my life to look like. Here's where I'm going. Probably for all of us, that direction that we're headed is not necessarily exactly the direction that God would have for us. So maybe from the get-go of what our big plan is, we're off kilter, off path. But I feel like even if we're on path, it's just so easy to veer off, so natural for us. And what I feel like is the Word of God, as we read it and as we hear it, what it does is it keeps nudging us, kind of correcting our path, putting us back on. And, you know, oh, I was thinking this way, and then I read this, and it's like, oh, that just fixes things a little bit. So I feel like there's this huge value in knowing the Word of God and in continuing to read it and be refreshed in its truths. I was a little uncomfortable with the word nudge. Just being in a bilingual culture, I wasn't sure it was a word that everybody would know. So if you're from a Spanish-speaking background, it's the word nudge is like the word escuchar. So when you go to sit on a couch and you need a little more room, someone's in your way, you say, hey, escucha over a little bit. You kind of give them a nudge. So, and you don't have to correct me about that. I already know I'm bad at Spanish, so no need to clarify that with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would speak to us here today. And God, again, maybe nothing new this morning, but I pray that You would refresh us in the truths and encourage us in the significance, importance of continually going before You and being nudged back on to the right path. And just, God, that Your Word would be alive to us, speaking to us and directing us and helping us fall in love with You and enjoy You, experience You. And it's not all there is in the Christian life, but it's really significant. And I pray that our relationship with You wouldn't be just with the Word, but it would be with You. But I also realize that a lot of our connection with You, our understanding of You, comes from what's written in Scripture. So we pray, God, You just help us to have that balance and correct understanding of You and Your Word. and that you would just spur us on this morning. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so in our reading, we covered 1 Thessalonians, and this is one of the verses that was in there. It says, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. I think in context, the word of God there is probably talking about the gospel, about how when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we are forgiven. We have eternal life based upon what he did for us on the cross and not based upon our own deeds or our own works. But still, I like this phrase, the word of God is at work in you who believe. And I feel like that goes beyond the gospel, that all of God's words are at work. And so this is actually a verse I've been mulling over for a period of weeks. And I just think it's really cool how God's word is at work in us. And so that's what I want to focus on. With our kids, we have a little saying sometimes, that's life is hard and you can make it harder. And I think it was Zebby a few weeks ago heard a story of someone that did something super dangerous. They didn't get killed, but it was like they could have or should have. And he said, life is short and you can make it shorter. That's pretty wise for a little kid. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. That doesn't mean that God has weakness. It doesn't mean that God has foolishness. But it's like it's comparing us at our very best compared to him at his very worst, if he had a very worst. And so it'd be like if Albert Einstein was hanging out with you and you were having dinner or something and he's talking and then suddenly stops and just, you know, you can tell it's kind of a light bulb moment for Albert. And he's like, oh, hold on, just a second, I got it. And he runs over to a chalkboard. He probably had one in every room. And, you know, he starts scribbling stuff down, all these equations, and he's like, there it is, the answer to life. And even if he was right, it would be that that moment of brilliance from mankind would not be as wise as the most simple thought that God has. It's like, wow. Man, God is so smart. And so I think when we think about just getting advice, being directed in life, being coached, that's good to keep in mind because I think it's really easy to go to human wisdom for a lot of things. And human wisdom is almost an oxymoron. Like, human wisdom doesn't even make sense together compared to God's wisdom. About 10 years ago, I got my alternative teaching certificate and I taught science at a middle school here in El Paso. And I had about 100 students, and I had just a handful that were really struggling. And there was one girl in particular. If you met her, you wouldn't notice any disability or anything like that. But when she took tests, it was just atrocious. And so, like, we would have a multiple choice test, and she would be like, oh, well, I know it's not B and D, and so I'll circle both A and C. In her thinking, now she's got a 50% chance of getting right. In reality, she's got a 100% chance now of getting it wrong, because you can't put two answers. And then, of course, the real answer would have been one of the ones she crossed off. And that's just how she was. And then she would leave things blank on a multiple choice test because she didn't know the answer. Like, well no, you've got to guess. And before class, I would go over some of the test questions, sometimes verbatim. Like, hey, here's a quick review. Here's some stuff you might want to know before the test. And I would do a problem that's right on the test. And she'd be like, oh, mister, that problem you did before class, that was on the test. And I'm like, yeah. And she still missed it, you know, even though she recognized. And just literally, she was that bad. So it would be like she would get like maybe a 30 on multiple choice tests, which would be just slightly above what would happen if you just randomly guessed. And so one day, there was a kid in my class, and he was sitting between two people. Let's call this gal Bernice. He's sitting between Bernice and another person, and I catch him cheating. And he's just real obviously copying off of this person's test. And it's really easy for me to catch him because I gave him different tests. And so I caught him. And for me, I was flabbergasted because it's like, why would you cheat off of Bernice? And he wasn't a super bright student, but it's like you would think everybody would be bright enough to know not to cheat off of Bernice. Because you know how it is when you're in school, you kind of know who's a good student, who's not. And certainly the whoever was on the other side of him would have been better to copy off of. And when you think about getting advice in life, it's like this world is not doing well in any area, right? This world's not doing well in its parenting. We're not really doing well in our education. We're not doing well with our marriages and our other relationships. We're not doing well with helping people be encouraged and finding hope in life and not being suicidal. And, you know, we can look at just about any area and be like, wow, the world's wisdom's not really getting us anywhere. And so the world's not doing great. And yet when we have struggles in life, where do we turn? You know, it's so easy to just Google something. Oh, what do I do when I'm discouraged? Or to listen to a TED Talk, or to go find a book. And I think the thing that I would want people to understand when it comes to God's Word is that those authors, in comparison to God, are Bernice. And the people who wrote the things on the web are Bernice, and the experts are Bernice, and the people who are giving the TED Talks are Bernice. And why would we go to Bernice for answers when we could go to God? So a little side note. Last week we had a new couple at church, and I gave the same sermon. You want to guess what her name was? I've never met anyone named Bernice until last week. Like, wow, that's kind of embarrassing. So she took it pretty well, so it was good. It was good. But it's like, what are the odds of that? Then I was talking about it after church, and I was telling Joe Ortiz about that. He's like, wow, that's crazy. You could have said, and then said another girl's name, and that was the real name of the girl that I taught. It's like, okay, this is too much. We should go buy some lottery tickets or something. Psalms 119:130 says, the unfolding of your words gives light, gives understanding to the simple. There's something about God's word, and as it's unfolding and we're getting, it's like, oh, okay, it gives light. It helps us. It directs us. It lights our path, like it talks about in Psalms 119, in another verse from the same chapter. And so life is hard. We can make it harder by following the world's advice instead of listening to God, by going to the wrong sources to get wisdom in life. God's word is more than words. It is at work in us. It's not just like another book. It's not just a self-help manual or a bunch of proverbs, a bunch of good ideas. There's something more to it than that. This is the same verse we looked at earlier, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. And there's something about it, I just like that concept. It's at work in you. And I think of like if you are sick and you take candy or something to cheer yourself up. It's like, okay, well, that's fine and that's good, but it's still just candy. But like when you have an ear infection or something, you can't sleep all night, and then you go to the doctor in the morning, and then he gives you the, I couldn't remember this word last week either, the antibiotic. There we go. I don't know why that was hard for me 2 weeks in a row. But you get the antibiotic, and you know, you take one or two doses, and it's different, and then you can sleep, and things are changing, and you're still supposed to take the whole thing. I know that, but the idea is, it's actually at work. It's doing something. That's the way God's word is. It equips us for life. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word fully equips us in life. It's not like, oh yeah, this is 2,000-year-old wisdom, and so it's not any good anymore. No, it's much, much more than that. And think about the struggles that people have. I think sometimes we can think, oh, our struggles are really unique, and we've really learned a lot about our types of struggles. And the world has a lot more wisdom now than it did back then. And I think first that negates the idea that the word is actually inspired by God. But it's interesting, even when you think about the struggles that people had back then, a lot of them would have been the same. Did people back in those days, did they struggle with parenting? Did they struggle with work, with relationships, with marriage, with discouragement? Did they struggle with a lot of those same things that are really the things that bug us the most? Well, sure they did. Sure they did. And I just think, man, if we're dealing with things that people struggle with in biblical times, you know, wouldn't biblical wisdom still apply? Isn't it still a great source, the first source, the best source to look at, to get wisdom, to get help? You know, maybe if you're trying to build a rocket or something, you go to the library and find a book on building rockets. But for just life, God's Word fully equips us for the work that He has set out for us. That's a really powerful thing. It's not just a bunch of words like alphabet soup or something. It accomplishes God's desires. Isaiah 55, 10, 11 says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." In some sense there, it's describing the water cycle there, right? The water comes down, and in some way it goes back up, and then it comes down again. It's saying, hey, when that process is happening, it doesn't hit the ground and do nothing. It accomplishes what it was supposed to do. And we see that here in El Paso with the ocotillo plants, the big, long, nasty-looking things. And they're completely brown and ugly right now. In another month or so, we'll get a rain, and that rain will just, like, bring them to life. And they'll turn all green, and they'll have the pretty little red flower at the top. And they'll go from being brown and ugly to a little bit green and a little less ugly with a pretty flower on the top. But the water does something, right? It doesn't just do nothing. Even the mountains, sometimes, there's enough rain that we look at the mountains and are like, oh, they're kind of green today. Not like the green that somebody else would see, but for El Pasoans, we look and we're like, oh, they're green. And that water does something. It's bringing life. And God's saying, hey, that's the way my word is. When my word goes out, it accomplishes what I desire. When I say, let there be light, there's light. And this is a collection of those words. And when God speaks, it has power, it does stuff, and I think it impacts our heart, just like that verse in Hebrews where it talks about it being like a sword. It's a life source. I think about in Deuteronomy when God is instructing the Israelites before they go to enter the promised land after they've been wandering the wilderness for 40 years. And there's a verse, I think it's Deuteronomy 32:47, where God's warning them, he's like, they are not just idle words for you. They're your life. By them, you'll live long in the land. And this verse where Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament is also a passage out of Deuteronomy. And he said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We live on the words. His words empower us to have life. And I'm just saying, His words are more than words. I don't even know exactly what that means, but I know that they're not just words. It's not just a book. The Bible's a collection of these words from the mouth of God. So as we go through life, we need course corrections. And I think we need lots of those corrections, lots and lots of little corrections. And that's why I think it's good to be reading the Word in some kind of an ongoing basis, because then it's always helping correct our misunderstandings of God and ourselves and sin and the world. And I think one danger is, especially for those who've been following the Lord for a long time, is we just kind of think, oh yeah, I know the Word. I've read the Bible before, and I'm good. And to some degree, I can appreciate that. It does make me think of this verse, 1 Corinthians 8:2, the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. And I think there's a degree to which we need to be humble and just realize, it's like, wow, I don't know everything. God does, and it would be good for me to continue to sit at the feet of Jesus, to continue to sit at his feet and hear his teaching and be directed by him. That's a good thing for my life. I think one way that we get course corrections, one way that we hear God's word is through teachings. I think there's value in that. I'm a little scared. I think for a lot of people, that might be the major source of people's input from the word is what they hear other people say. One of the things my mom taught me was don't believe everything you hear. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. And so you want to be careful of just listening to what other people think about God and not making sure that that's what God really says. But there is some value in hearing teachings, sermons. Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So in the early church, that was one of the things they devoted themselves to, was putting themselves before the teachings of the apostles. Our small group has been reading through 1 Thessalonians, just as we did as a church this last week, and studying one chapter each week. And I've been really impressed with the Thessalonians. It's like, wow, these guys were really awesome. And this is the verse that we've already looked at a couple times, but one more time. It says, we also want to thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accept it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. And you get this idea that the Thessalonians were hearing these teachings about the gospel and other things related to God, and they're just like, wow. And they're embracing it. They're excited to hear it. And they're implementing the things that are being taught. And they have this great response. Paul's like, man, good for you. Good job, guys. And so there is value in that. I think there can be a danger, though, in just listening to a ton of sermons, a ton of teachings of all kinds of things that are on YouTube or whatever, and not going to the source ourselves or not checking what's being said. I may have shared this story with you guys, I can't remember, but a few months ago, I was giving a message on the Word, and someone told me that they had gone to a large church in El Paso, and the pastor was sharing out of Daniel. And it's when Daniel and his friends were going to get thrown into, was Daniel in that, getting thrown into the furnace, or just the other three guys? Just the three, okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there we go. Okay, so those three were going to get thrown into the fiery furnace because they didn't bow down to the idol. And in it, they say, if we are thrown into the fiery furnace, the God we serve will be able to rescue us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O King. And the pastor of this church shared this and then went on to say, see, God wants to save you from your trials. See, God is a God who rescues. And he kind of had the dot, dot, dot or something, kind of left off the next part where it says, but even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, we're not going to bow down to your idol. Which changes the whole flavor of that. And a man of God is preaching this, a man who should know better, who I'm sure knows better, he's being deceitful, and people are just listening to it and just trusting it. And so I just think that's dangerous. I'm pretty sure that there are things that I've said that are wrong. I mean, I don't even know the story of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, it's like, you can't trust everything I say. You can't. I'm wrong sometimes. Dove's wrong sometimes. And so when we're just listening to just whoever off of the internet, it's like, there's a certain danger to that. I met a famous speaker one time, Christian speaker. You very well may have books of his on your shelf. And I was, I don't know if it was the Spirit of God or just if I'm just nuts, but like, there is something wrong with this guy. There is something not safe about this guy. And we just got to be careful. We got to be careful. And that's why I love this verse. Acts 17:11 says, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. The Thessalonians, the people we just read about, that were so awesome because they embraced the teachings as if they were the Word of God, which was okay because those words were the Word of God. So that worked out. But it's saying the Bereans were different than the Thessalonians. Thessalonians were awesome, but the Bereans were even more awesome. When they received the message, they received it with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They're sitting here hearing this teaching. Oh, that's really good. That's good. That's encouraging. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, now let's go and let's check the scroll. Okay, yeah, that's what the scroll says, you know. And that's good. And that's why I think there's a real value, not just to hearing teachings, but to checking the word on our own and reading it and letting God's word nudge us in, okay, that was okay, but that's not quite right. And nudging us back into the way of truth. I want to end on a story of Josiah. Just a little bit of background. If you remember, there's a period of Israel's history when Israel divided into two kingdoms. There was Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. And Israel was extremely wicked. They were building idols and sacrificing their children in the fire and imitating the nations around them instead of following God. And so God brought them into severe judgment by having the Assyrians come in and attack them. Now, the people of Judah were doing a little bit better. I don't remember time frame, but, you know, basically they're like 100 years behind them. So they're also starting to degrade a little bit more slowly. And so they're at this point where God is kind of done with them too. And he's letting them know, I'm going to bring judgment on you just like I brought judgment upon your sister Israel. And around this time, there's this king, Josiah. And he turned out to actually be a pretty good king and tried to fix some of the problems that were going on. And one of the things he did, because he honored God, loved God, he wanted to fix up the temple. And so they did a big collection, and they started fixing the temple, and they're doing construction. And they're doing construction, they find something, which is kind of cool, because I always wish that would happen. Like when you're doing construction, you want to find a bag of money behind a wall. And it doesn't happen to very many people, but I think a lot of us dream about it. And they found something really cool. They found the Bible. They found a scroll that was the Bible that they had in those days. And so here's what happened. It says, Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law, that's their Bible, in the temple of the Lord. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. It says, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. That's like a sign of mourning or of grief. He's in distress about something. So he gave these orders. I should say my dot, dot, dots in this passage are not because I'm trying to change the flavor of the passage, but there's some unpronounceable names in there. So sometimes you can just go back and check, make sure that I didn't skip anything important. He gave these orders. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. And so basically they find the Bible and it's read to Josiah and he's like, oh man. Wow, that's what God wants? We are in big trouble. We should go ask God what we should do here. As the king called together all the people from the least to the greatest, he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord, to keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant, and then they went and they tore down the idols and did a lot of things in this reform, this time of change. And so it's like they're on this path and they're way off path. And then they get God's word and they're like, okay, we need to make some major course corrections. And that was great that they did that. Now, unfortunately, it was really too late for Judah and judgment was already pronounced for them, but it was delayed a bit because of their response. And so it was kind of a good response. But what would have been better would have been as if all along they had kept the word of God out and been referring to it, and I don't know, daily or weekly or monthly at least, you know, kind of going back and, okay, what's God say again? Okay, well, let's do that. And instead of getting lots of little nudges, it took this huge nudge after things were in a desperate situation, and it kind of knocked them back on course. But for me, I would rather have a whole lot of little nudges. I want to put myself at his feet and be learning from him. And so I appreciate that they made this pledge, this covenant. And I guess I would encourage us to make a covenant this morning too. You might be uncomfortable with that. I am sometimes as well. I don't like those things. I think a vow before God's very serious. So I don't like to vow things that I know I'm probably not going to do or I'm not too sure about. But I wonder if we could vow something just between you and God, just something real general. And that's just, God, I commit to consistently putting myself before you. Whatever that means. But just if you sense in your life, hey, there's been a dry spell, I have not been putting myself before God, that you'd be like, oh yeah, I made a commitment, I'm going to go back to doing that again. At whatever level. Daily, weekly, just that in your heart, you'd be like, I've got to keep doing that. I've got to keep doing that. Because it's more than words. It's going to change my life. It's going to set me down a good course. And I want to keep doing that. So let's just have a moment of silence. And you can make whatever commitment to God you want. But something like that I think would be good. Just, I commit to consistently seeking you. God, we just thank you that your word is living and active and has impacted each of us so much in so many different ways. And I understand it's not all there is in our relationship with you. It's not all about reading the Bible, but I still see it as a real treasure. The wisdom that's contained in your word, the instruction that's contained, the life that's given is so valuable. God, help us to just keep putting ourselves before your word and being nudged back into truth in whatever area, whether it's sin or just our understanding of you or our understanding of what you've done for us or grace and forgiveness, but you would just always be nudging us back onto a really good path with your truth. And so we just thank you for this time here today, and we love you, and we pray that you would just help us to remember that you are the wise one and we can go to you. And so we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.